everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Crime and Coffee Couple. My name's Allison.
And my name's Mike.
Hi, Mike.
Yo, what's up?
You know, a little of this and a little of that.
Yeah, yeah. You look, you know, like a little sun-kissed, I would say.
Yeah, we went to the beach yesterday.
Oh, we did. As a matter of fact, we did. How
it
about that?
It was a glorious day.
Yeah, not to like rub it in anyone's faces. You know, our Australian listeners are used to going to the beach at this time since it's summer down there. We found out summer-ish. Some people sent us some pictures, so thank you for that. But we got out and we live like an hour from the beach. So we figured, hey, let's take advantage of it. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was like 65 degrees. It was just perfect.
Yeah. It was beautiful. Got a little sunburn because, you know, I'm white, like Snow White, basically.
Well, you didn't put sunscreen on your neck.
Yeah. Yeah. That doesn't help either. It turns out that even in the winter, that sun can still burn you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not burned. We don't do that anymore as much, I wouldn't say. Maybe.
You're pretty
we try
red, though.
To. Yeah, I'm a little bit, but it'll turn tan, so I'll be fine.
It's your neck.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess I'm a redneck. yeah. So welcome to the show. We want to say welcome to all of our patrons and also Apple Podcast subscribers. We can't shout out your name, Apple Podcast subscriber or Apple subscription people, because they don't give us your names or anything. So they don't even tell us. Like at first I thought, oh man, nobody's signing up for the Apple subscriptions. That, you know, that was like 3 hours of work for like nothing, because I had to switch everything from Patreon to Apple. And Melissa from Till Death Do Us Part, she's thinking about doing the same thing. And she's like, I don't know. It's a lot of work. I'm like, yeah, it is. And Allison pretty much had to like physically beat me down to do it. She's like, all right, sit there and don't get out of this room until it's done.
I put duct tape around him to the chair so that he couldn't move.
Yeah. So that kind of hampered my like clicking of the mouse and everything, but I figured it out.
At least I put that liter bottle of empty liter so that you could pee in it.
Yeah. And luckily I'm very small, so I can fit right into it. So it's good. not to get too graphic there, but yeah, so Apple, welcome Apple listeners and Spotify listeners, anybody. So basically, this is to say, if you think enough of us and have some scratch and you're like, hey, we'd love to help out a little mom and pop podcast, I'm Pa.
And I'm Ma.
Yeah. Go ahead and sign up for the Patreon. Patreon's great if you're literally through anybody. Like besides Apple, like Spotify is really good because you can get your Spotify feed right there. But then if you don't like Patreon, go ahead and go to Apple subscriptions, right in the top.
But the point really is, if you want to be shouted out and you're an Apple Podcast subscriber, just shoot us a message and we'll name you.
That is the point. Thank you for bringing it back.
Yeah, long story short.
Yes. So besides that, what else is going on? We had somebody reach out to us on our Instagram page and commented for Allison. Oh, no, it was YouTube commenter. So I am putting all these shows on YouTube now, about 2 hours after they release. So odds are, if you're listening to the show, you can go see it on YouTube also. Depends which way you want to consume it, either way. But somebody commented and they said, Allison, I got this new face shaver because you listened to one of your episodes where you were talking about the face shavers. What do you guys call them?
I forget what they're called. It was like a straight edge razor and you just like kind of go down on your face.
Yeah, but like girls call them something that it's
I don't
not
know.
Shavers.
I can't think of the name.
Like dermabrasion. I don't know.
Something like that.
Something fancy. I'm like, so why don't you just like you use a shaver for your legs? But why not just use a shaver for your face?
We don't do that.
Just because it's like not meant to be a shaver. Like you don't want to think you're actually shaving.
Right.
Even though this thing that came was like an electronic shaver. Like I don't know if you've seen those, if your husbands or boyfriends use those or whatever. There's those ones with like the three heads. That are like, it's like that, except it's one head and it looks like a lipstick thing.
It looks like lipstick. It's got a light and we can actually use that as my Amazon addiction. I've only used it once, so I can't say like, oh, it's life-changing, but it worked well.
Okay.
So we'll link that.
What is it, like $20?
It was 20, yeah. Okay. And Mike, and they send you the battery and everything, and Mike brought it over to me. He's like, you do realize this is just an electric face shaver.
We're making small steps to getting you just a shaver, just like a full-on Mach 3, like, let's just go for it.
Put the shaving cream, lather up.
Yeah, yeah. You may as well just be standing there at the mirror with me and just shaving it up.
Should I do a little aftershave?
No, because that's not good for you, they say.
Oh, okay, because, you know, Kevin on Home Alone, he does it.
And he was a child.
That's
yeah,
true.
His dad probably did it, and it was brute and all that stuff. I get it, but I don't. They say it's not good, so I don't do it.
Dries out the skin.
Yeah, yeah. But what else do you have? Allison made me a little list of things to bring up.
Oh, your ugly-ass shoes.
Oh, I was going to say, ugly-ass shoes.
that's exactly how I wrote it on the paper. So ugly-ass shoes.
Why do you find them so ugly?
So I come home from work on Friday, And there's these, if you were a scuba diver, it might be appropriate. They were sitting by our front door. And all I could do is just stand and stare at them with my jaw like flapped open.
Like what kind of shenanigans like am I getting myself into?
What in the hell are these shoes sitting by my front door?
Yeah, they're kind of like water socks looking shoes. One of my friends, I make some online friends because, you know, it's easier that way. You don't have to meet in person and all that stuff. I follow some weightlifting guys on Twitter, and this guy's like, hey, if you're into the flat-footed thing, you know, get these shoes. They're like $20 on Amazon, and I use them for hiking and jogging and stuff. And I was like, they look stupid, but I'm at the point in my life. I'm 44. I don't really care what people think of me. So, yeah, I'm confident enough in myself. Like, whatever. Yeah, I'm married. I have kids. Like, what am I really going for?
I understand that.
You know, so, I mean, I want you to not think I'm a complete loser, but
I don't think you're a loser.
You know, sometimes that's impossible to say, but
the shoes don't make you a loser.
Right, right. That's my feeling. So
they're just ridiculous looking.
They're flat, so they make your feet work harder, and I want to develop the muscles in my feet so that when I'm doing, like, power lifts and stuff like that, I can perform better. And that's not like, you know, I did calf lifts the other day, calf extensions, and like my big toe kind of felt like it was off a little bit.
Well, so, we got to strengthen up that big toe.
I know it's very important. So not to get too boring, but it's like, yeah, I just want strong feet. And so I'm willing to look like a complete idiot to do so.
Yeah. Well, it works.
Yeah. Yeah. That's all right. Now, and speaking of being manly, I was out with a coworker the other night for dinner, and they were like, they offered like vegan menus. And I was like, oh, I went vegan for like 3 or 4 months. And she's like, oh, don't you feel like less of a man? I was like, if that makes me feel like less of a man, I've got problems.
Like, who says eating animals is like female or male?
It's just society.
Caveman thing?
I guess. I don't know. I'm not against vegans. I'm not against meat eaters. I eat meat now because it's just easier to get protein that way.
You do you, boo. Right. Like whatever makes you happy or healthy, go for
it. And I was like, if people can't look at me and don't know I'm a man, then they've got problems.
Yeah, yeah. I'd say so.
I especially at the beach yesterday, I took my shirt off. We didn't post any pictures of that on Instagram with my shirt off because I have like for new listeners, I have like the hairiest back ever. Not ever. I'd say probably like top 10% of hairy backs in the world.
It's pretty hairy. You actually won a hairy back contest in college.
Yeah. I got like $500 for laser hair removal and I was like, okay, let's use it. And they're like, okay, that'll be $10,000. I was like, okay, I guess I'm not using the $500.
It wouldn't have been $10,000, but it would have just scratched the surface.
Right. It was basically like a 10% discount.
Yeah.
I was like, nah, no thanks. I'll keep my hair.
Ready to get into this?
I'm ready.
All right. So this was actually a request from friends of the victim of this case. And this is an episode request from Finishing Stacy's Fight. And this is the unsolved murder of Stacy Colbert.
And before we get into it, this was via TikTok. So we are on TikTok. We are on Instagram. Go follow the links in the show notes. You can find us Crime and Coffee 2 on pretty much any social media platform and submit anything there. We also have Google Forms you can find in our links. But this one was TikTok. I rarely read TikTok stuff, so I'm glad we picked this one.
Mm-hmm, for sure. So it was late on Monday, March 23rd, 1998, and 26-year-old Daniel Nussbaum was watching the 70th Academy Awards at home. And Leonardo DiCaprio was taking the win for Best Picture for Titanic. And Danielle, knowing that her younger sister, who is 23-year-old Stacy Colbert, was a big fan, she called her sister at 9 p.m. that night as she was watching. She wanted to chat with her about, you know, Leo. They were big Leo fans. They had just gone to see the Titanic. Danielle and Stacy went together for Stacy's 23rd birthday.
Well, it's cool anytime you have some kind of a connection to talk about something.
Mm-hmm. So she was calling her sister and Stacy didn't pick up. So, you know, she didn't think much of it. So Stacy was born on February 3rd, 1975, which if you're listening to this on Sunday, that would mean that yesterday would have been Stacy's 49th birthday, sadly. She was born in Chicago and the family later relocated. Danielle and Stacy were raised in a very small town of Charleston, Illinois. It's located in East Central Illinois, where their father worked as a podiatrist. There wasn't much to do beyond going to the park, the mall, or the movies. It was a small town. The sisters were 2.5 years apart in age. They were as close as can be. They went to the same elementary school, the same high school together. Stacy was more into sports, such as tennis and cheerleading. She was also in the POM squad, while Danielle was more into theater and show choir. Stacy was very self-motivated. She would often wake up at 4 a.m. so that she could get a run in before going about her day and her work and et cetera.
Wow. Young person doing that. That's pretty dedicated.
Yeah, that's definitely getting up at 4 o'clock. We've talked about that. That's not an easy feat.
That's not a human thing to do. That's somebody that wants something badly.
Mm-hmm. So in 1991, Danielle went off to Ohio State University, which was a family tradition, as both their dad and their uncle went there. When Stacy was 14, her dad took her on a tour of the campus, and right then and there, again, only age 14, she made the decision in her head that this is where she was going to go.
She wants to be a Buckeye.
Mm-hmm. A few years later, in 1994, after spending one quarter at Lakeland Community College near Cleveland, Stacy followed in her family's footsteps, joining Danielle at the OSU campus. They would get together for coffee, and Danielle was thrilled to have her little sister there.
That'd be so fun to go to college together with like a sibling. Like,
totally.
Built-in friendships already. Like, that'd be amazing. And you get along with them. Like, it's just perfect.
And then if you get along with your sibling, odds are you're going to get along with their friends. So then you have like two friend groups combining,
yeah.
Which is, it's so nice. Stacy graduated in 1997, with a Bachelor of Science in Business Administration. As Danielle called her sister to discuss the 70th Academy Awards, she was met with silence on Stacy's end, and as she went to sleep that night, she just made the assumption that Stacy must have been away on a business trip because she was going to go on away on business.
Met with silence, meaning that she didn't answer the phone.
Exactly. Okay. And she just assumed her sister would just call her back. So despite only working at her job for 6 months, Stacy's boss selected her to go to New York City for an important presentation. As Danielle arrived home from work the following evening, which was now Tuesday, March 24th, 1998, rather than seeing a message from Stacy on her answering machine, she was met with a message from Stacy's employer. They were letting Danielle know that Stacy had not been to work that Monday or Tuesday, and Stacy hadn't called in to say she wouldn't be there. So they're letting Danielle know this. So the last time she reported into work was Friday the 20th, and on that evening, she went out with friends to Arlington Cafe. She was driven home Friday night by a male acquaintance. When Stacy didn't come into work on Monday, her coworker assumed she had already left for her business trip. Her boss was on vacation at that point. They weren't in the office to confirm that fact, so that's why nobody called on Monday. So then when she didn't come in on Tuesdays, things started to click in like, hey, is Stacy gone yet on her trip? And that's when they decided to cross-check with Danielle. So Danielle looks back at that moment with that flashing light on her answering machine as life before the call and life after the call, because life would never be the same after she heard that message. Mm-hmm. She immediately knew that something must be terribly wrong. Knowing that Stacy was an incredibly hard worker, she couldn't fathom any situation where Stacy wouldn't show up for work, any situation where everything could possibly be okay at this point.
Yeah, she's clearly a go-getter. And, you know, she was selected pretty early on in her career, you know, her job or whatever, to go to this New York thing. And turned out that, you know, she wasn't responding. It sounds like she's a successful person.
She is.
Mostly. So it's just like, no, that wouldn't be her.
There's like no situation you can possibly dream up that everything could be okay. We all know those reliable people that don't just fall off the grid. So according to police, the last time Stacy was seen was on Saturday, March 21st, which was 2 days before Danielle sat on the couch watching the Academy Awards, her calls to Stacy going unanswered. She had a cold at the time and planned to have a low-key weekend. When I say she, Stacy did. So Stacy had a little cold. She just wasn't feeling great, and she was going to have a low-key weekend at home in her first floor one-bedroom apartment. Since she had been working long hours at work, you know, she just probably wanted to get in sweatpants and stay that way. So that Saturday, she spoke with Danielle on the phone, as well as her dad, who was living in Georgia at the time. She chatted with a coworker who lived in the same apartment complex. And then as evening rolled around, Stacy ordered a double order of breadsticks from Papa John's. This was the minimum amount that you could order for a delivery. I mean, that's a girl after my own heart.
Yeah, just because want to be comfy and, yeah, just ordering something home style, just like something that kind of the only thing that sounds good, basically.
Right. And not to mention the fact that you don't want to have to get in your car and go pick up those breadsticks.
You certainly don't.
So I would be the exact same way, I'd be like, well, then I'll have breadsticks another time. So she was able to get that delivery made. So the point is that the pizza delivery guy is the last person to have seen Stacy. Mm. So as again, as evening's rolling around, she's placing this order. So a pizza delivery driver delivered breadsticks to Stacy's Governor Square apartment, 15 minutes northwest of the Ohio State University campus. So this was about 6 p.m. that Saturday evening. And again, he was the last person to have reported seeing Stacy alive. So within days, Stacy's picture, her smiling face, her dark brown hair and brown eyes were plastered throughout the streets of Columbus and the Ohio State's campus. It was only a year earlier that Stacy had graduated from the university. 6 months earlier, Stacy began her first job as a marketing assistant with the American Electric Power, in Columbus. So everyone was terribly concerned, and she had a very large circle of people that cared about her because she was into everything. And, you know, they were just terrified of what could have happened to the recent alumna and member of the Alpha Delta Pi sorority. So on Tuesday, March 24th, this is when Danielle is getting, you know, word that Stacy's missing. Work 2 days in a row. So she rushes over to Stacy's apartment, which was only 2 miles from her own. And as she drove, she called her parents, who had also not seen or spoken with Stacy within the time frame that she was missing. And she let them know what was going on. When she arrived, Danielle was shocked to see that not only was Stacy's car just sitting out in the parking lot, but her apartment door was unlocked and slightly ajar. Once inside, there was no sign of burglary or theft. So Danielle did find some clothes strewn around the apartment. I read something that said that her clothes were laid out for her trip to New York, for her business trip. The refrigerator door was open. Milk and the half-eaten box of breadsticks were sitting on the counter. The box of breadsticks were stamped with the date and time of March 21st at 5:58 p.m. Stacy's car keys, her purse, $40, as well as uncashed checks and credit cards were there. Nothing was missing.
So, you know, there's not a robbery attempt.
No. So this wasn't done because somebody wanted to steal something. Mm-hmm. So, and also, are you really going to go into a college-ish campus where people are literally just getting started in their career probably, in case that location?
Probably better places
I mean,
to target.
No, it's like you're just now getting your career going. It's not the place you're going to go and rob.
Right.
So the one thing that was missing, though, was Stacy's kitten Boots. And obviously the door was left ajar, so Boots easily wandered out of the door. So Stacy had only gotten Boots 3 months earlier, and she was madly in love with him, which made us think of our daughter. She has a cat named Walter, and she is just gaga for Walter.
It's like her son. She cries about him all the
time. She does. If she talks about Walter, she cries. So, you know, Stacy got Boots a few months earlier, and she felt that the name was a little generic, but she had yet to come up with a more unique name at the time. She was thinking about it.
My kind of gal admits that it's generic, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm. So Stacy's typical routine was to head home after work so that she could play with Boots. Then she would go back out to meet up with her coworkers for happy hour. After Stacy went missing, Boots did end up going and being adopted by Stacy's sorority sister, because a lot of people do worry about pets and stories like, oh, what happened to the cat?
So they found Boots.
So Boots was found. She was kind of just wandering around the area. Boots went to Stacy's sorority sister, who changed her cat's name to Cookie, which was a nickname Stacy had been given shortly after she joined AD Pi.
That's sweet.
And he lived actually to be 19 years old.
Wow.
So as Danielle stood in her sister's apartment with no sign of Stacy, she was panicked and confused, and she immediately called the police. The Columbus Police Department began their investigation, questioning Stacy's neighbors, as well as the delivery man who would have delivered the breadsticks on Saturday evening. Police asked those who were questioned if they had seen or heard anything, or if anything seemed to be amiss.
Like literally anything, because we have nothing to go on right now.
They're starting from scratch here. The delivery driver told police that he found nothing out of the ordinary when he made the delivery. It was Stacy that answered the door. According to an article from The Lantern, the pizza driver felt strongly, though, that Stacy was not alone in her apartment and sensed that someone was present.
Yeah, that's hard because it's like this is a sense you're going off of. Like there's nothing to kind of back it up. It's just this person that typically sees a lot of people, which is probably a good good test. You know, feel as there was somebody else.
Right. So I don't know what it was that they saw or heard that made them sense somebody's presence, but that's just what they said. Mm-hmm. A neighbor who lived upstairs in apartment C indicated that he had been woken up at 4 a.m. on Sunday, March 22nd, to horrific screams coming from the apartment directly below.
There we go.
So this apartment was apartment A, and lo and behold, this apartment belonged to Stacy. So he was unable to fall back to sleep as the screams continued, and he also heard loud banging. He felt it sounded as if someone was in trouble. The report indicated that the neighbor did not check on Stacy until 2 p.m. the next afternoon, which was 10 hours after he heard the screams. No one answered the door. He found boots roaming around outside. A person known to Stacy indicated that the man made the decision not to contact the police at the time that he heard the noises because he had outstanding parking tickets and didn't want to call attention to himself. So that's why at 4 a.m. when he's hearing these terrible screams, he never called the police.
Yeah. You know, I can see a lot of people like going at him and being like, you know, why didn't you call earlier? It's like, I don't know. It's everybody's individual option to do so. And obviously, we're all human beings, part of the same world here. And you want to help when you can. It's just obviously, I'd imagine you talk to this guy. He wished that he called in at the time.
In hindsight, I'm positive of that. Unless,
like, you know, and I'm sorry to cut you off, but like 99% of the time, it's just something, some stupid college kids being dumb.
Right.
You know?
And that's the thing. Like a lot of the people that live in this apartment complex are young. They're in their young 20s. You know, on a Saturday night / Sunday morning, there could be parties happening and screaming happening.
Yeah. And like a parking ticket sounds like no big deal. But if you're a kid just trying to make ends meet and stuff, and it's like, oh, man, then I'm going to have to pay these like $800 of parking tickets and I might not be able to be in my apartment or whatever. Yeah, I'm making up some kind of story, but it's like, it just happened. It's a fact that happened. It's unfortunate. Mm-hmm. Like, don't give the kid a hard time.
And I don't know how old this person was, but in some of the articles that I read and things that I read, he's already passed away, I guess several years after Stacy. Oh. You know, obviously young people do pass away. So I don't know how old he was, but it's just unfortunate.
Too bad he didn't call earlier.
Yes. It's unfortunate that, you know, 10 hours passed before he checked anything, but it is what it is. So Danielle couldn't think of a single person who did not like Stacy, let alone somebody that would want to cause her harm. I mean, she's just a smiley, kind, nice person. She's not somebody that people would want to harm.
I mean, the first thing that comes to mind has got to be some kind of a jealous boyfriend scenario. For me, I don't know. I'm sure you're going to tell us, you know, anything we know so far.
There's really not any true theories at this point in time of who would possibly do this. If, to my understanding, Stacy wasn't in any kind of relationship or anything like that. So there's not really many clues at this point. So Stacy's coworker, Molly, described Stacy as a positive, enthusiastic, vibrant person and said that her wonderful energy spread throughout the entire office. She said she was the kind of person that you wished every single one of your coworkers were. Hmm. A sorority sister of Stacy said that she had an amazing, warm, friendly smile. And if you see pictures of her, which we will post, that's true. And if you knew her, you couldn't help but be attracted to her. And I really felt like I got to know Stacy by doing this research. And she's 100% somebody that I'd be friends with. Just a fun, nice person, a positive person, like we say, a bucket filler versus a bucket emptier. Mm-hmm. So Stacy's college roommate lived with her on the third floor of their sorority house. She remembered Stacy as somebody who was just filled with kindness, compassion. She was without judgment. She served as the person that everyone could turn to when they needed help or support. She was a positive influence on the sorority, and when she joined in January of 1994, she participated in various volunteer opportunities that included the Ronald McDonald House. Her go-getter spirit led her to the role of vice president of the sorority. And again, she's one of those girls. She's going to go in, she's going to do it, and do it with everything she has.
It comes from like a successful family too. And it's just kind of, you know, ingrained, and she's a hard worker too. Sounds like heck of a girl.
And despite her busy college schedule, Stacy always prioritized her learning and her schoolwork as she was an active member of the American Marketing Association. Stacy had overcome issues with her eyesight as well as a learning disability. She worked especially hard to achieve her good grades. Her hard work led to an internship at the 1996 Olympics in Atlanta with McDonald's, which, I mean, that's amazing.
That's probably highly competitive, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm. And when she was there, she was tasked with working on a marketing plan. And this opportunity gave her a glimpse as to what would lay ahead in her dream career. And she found that it was an instant match for her personality. Stacy spent her weekdays immersed with her studies and her weekends on the dance floor. She absolutely loved to dance. She was outgoing. She was extroverted. And she was the life of any party. After graduating in 1997, Stacy remained an active member of the Ohio State's 80 Pi chapter. She loved mentoring new members and participating in recruitment events for the sorority. So she was still involved on campus even after she graduated. And that's why there was so much pain and loss when Stacy suddenly went missing, because everybody knew her and loved her. So the night that Danielle reported Stacy missing, she stayed with the police until 3 a.m., answering the same questions over and over with various detectives from various units.
So, and so just to be clear, timelines, she graduated in 97. This happened in March of 98.
Yeah.
Okay.
So she had graduated just, the summer before.
Yeah.
So since Stacy went missing during spring break, many of her friends were out of town. It wasn't until close to 72 hours after Stacy went missing that her employer had alerted Danielle and the police were aware. And obviously, the police know that after more than 24 hours of someone missing, the window starts to close on whether or not the odds of this person being found are going to happen. So we're edging towards a 72-hour mark. So that's a disadvantage. So on March 31st, which was a week after Stacy went missing, the campus mourned and hundreds of students gathered together and left a trail of lit candles and printed posters for Stacy in hopes of her returning home safely. Stacy's employers printed thousands and thousands of flyers a day and assisted with the search. They also held her position at work for months in hopes that she was going to safely come home. According to the Columbus Police Public Records Unit, 498 missing persons reports were filed in 1998, though usually only one or two end up going unsolved most years. They can close most of them. So as the vigil came to an end, Danielle thought about a missing girl who had been captured for a week until she managed to escape. This gave her some hope that, you know, maybe something like this was the case with Stacy and that she could still come home too. And this was something desperately that she needed to hold on to, a shred of hope that maybe her sister could come home.
Yeah, because the 48-hour thing, it's a correlation. It's not a causation.
It's usually 24 hours.
Yeah, whatever the time is. It's not like... it's not the time that's making that person harder to find. It's like because they didn't find enough evidence or there was no leads or anything. It's not like, oh no, 24 hours, it's going to be dumb. Way less chance. Yeah, it's a matter of finding the right stuff.
Right. So the years continued to pass. And by 2004, this is 6 years after Stacy disappeared, police had exhausted all suspects and leads just started to dwindle. The case was basically coming to a standstill. Danielle described the experience as something that kills you from the inside out. You pray for their safe return, and obviously you want them to come back.
And it's all you can think about. You know, you get into other things in your daily life, you know, work and whatever, family, if you have it. And, you know, then it's like your sister still, she could potentially be out there somewhere, like still needing help. And it's like, gosh, I just want to do something, but I have no idea what to do.
Yeah, like you said, you can distract yourself throughout the day. But at the core of it, I can only horrifically imagine that that's the first thing you think of when you wake up in the morning, the first thing you think of as you're falling asleep. It's got to consume you, the not knowing, are they dead? Are they alive? Where are they? What happened to them? I can't imagine the torture that must come with that. And it breaks my heart to think that people have to live through this. So on Saturday, November 27th, 2004, a hunter named Roy Parsons was out in search of his lost dog in a wooded area by the Scioto River and on State Road 257 North in Delaware County, Ohio. So this, according to my readings, was about a 40-minute drive from Stacy's apartment. Under tree leaves and scattered debris, he was shocked to see human bones. Mm. The Delaware County coroner was called to the scene and joined the Bureau of Criminal Identification and Investigation at the scene. Over the course of 2 to 3 days, they were able to gather about 70% of a person's skeletal remains in a 10 feet wide area. dental records ultimately positively identify the remains as belonging to Stacy.
Oh, that sucks.
Initially, there was hope that it wasn't going to be Stacy because part of the pelvis was missing, and that's a good indicator of what the person's age may have been. Based on the fact they didn't have the full pelvis, they were guessing it was somebody maybe in their 40s, which gave them hope that it wasn't going to be Stacy, but it ended up tragically that it was. But, you know, at this point in time, it's like you could say, well, at least they know definitively that what happened. I mean,
that she's not out there anymore looking to be saved or, you know, brainwashed or whatever it might be.
Whatever. You know, your mind could twist to think what could be happening.
Yeah, it's up to each individual person to decide whether this is good closure or not.
Absolutely. So because of the lack of physical evidence at the scene, obviously we're 6.5 years out. You know, there's not much evidence. You can't say definitively, you know, what the cause of death is at this point because there's nothing left, really.
Yeah.
The body was found to have some broken ribs, though the family didn't report that Stacy had broken any. But another article indicated that the rib fracture found had already healed before she had died. The missing persons case could now be confirmed as a homicide, something that the Columbus police expected based on whatever findings they found at Stacy's apartment. The evidence found there, however, there's not much detail because this is still an open and active investigation.
That's so frustrating from, you know, the point of wanting to know what happened, but at the same time, you have to keep that closed just in case.
You don't want the details to be leaked so that if you find somebody, those are only known to the police department. I totally get that.
Yeah.
But the point is, whatever they found at Stacy's apartment told them that this was going to be a homicide.
What could they have found? Have you read anything?
I'll give you some insight.
Okay.
So the case was now swapped from one jurisdiction to another, which makes it all the more challenging. Detective Jeff Bessinger, who was with the Delaware County Sheriff's Office, knew nothing about Stacy's case. So this was putting him behind, on top of the fact that the case was already more than 6 years old. Bessinger indicated that the Delaware County sadly tends to be a dumping ground for bodies, which is just unbelievably sad.
Holy
to me.
Cow, how about that? It's like, yeah, our county's a dumping ground for bodies.
It like, must have remote, tucked away areas that people just take victims to. It's just unbelievable to think about.
Yeah.
So this department deals with a lot of the aftermath from other agencies because obviously now they're picking up on a case that the other police department had started. So Bessinger began to re-examine every detail of Stacy's case from the very beginning. He re-interviewed suspects, had long gone back to the original scene of Stacy's apartment. He indicated that there were some things that were found later on in the search by the Columbus Police Department, which he now has in his possession, which are being analyzed by the crime lab. There are many barriers to getting resolution in cold cases. You know, you've got time against you, the lack of physical evidence, DNA, suspects refusing to speak with police, a lack of evidence to indict them. As time goes by, people's memories fade, witnesses die, victims sadly get forgotten. So time is against you. So working with Stacy's family over the years, Bessinger has formed a bond with the Colbert family, even though some members have died. Stacy's father, Larry, sadly passed away in 2007, not knowing who was responsible for his daughter's death. Stacy's mom, Rana, has since moved to Arizona. According to a Reddit page about Stacy's case, the apartment complex was located in a safe area surrounded by families in a suburban spot. After Stacy's disappearance, the police cut a large portion of her carpet out from her apartment inside. It's currently unknown if DNA other than Stacy's was located. So in this page...
Well, you got to assume yes.
Yeah, you would assume, but we don't know.
And also to preserve her DNA.
Mm-hmm. So on this Reddit page, it's reported that the carpet appeared to have been scrubbed and her apartment may have smelled very strongly of bleach. There were over 60 hours between the time that Stacy would have gone missing until anyone was aware of the fact, because you think about 4 a.m. is when that neighbor above heard all the screaming on the early Sunday morning hours. And Danielle didn't know anything about it until Tuesday evening. So this gave a person a lot of time to clean up the crime scene and erase any potential evidence. There was a boot print found on the door from the inside, which could have indicated that Stacy was trying to escape and the killer kicked the door closed. Because obviously it's not normal to have a footprint on the door.
No.
So it was probably somebody preventing her from leaving. The Columbus police treated Stacy's case as a homicide versus a missing persons case almost immediately, even without the fact that there was a body there. Again, it's unclear what was discovered in her apartment that led to this immediate conclusion. Obviously, the fact that the carpet had been scrubbed is my guess.
Well, it's good that Stacy is a part of the, you know, the sorority, and there's got to be fraternities that are very close to the sorority, and you got to look into like a lot of those happenings and like who is she talking to. You know, hopefully, I know it's a year removed from college, but you know, there's got to be some kind of a tie. Hopefully, you would assume something. Somebody has some information.
Yeah. So the Reddit page also indicates that it's been speculated that Stacy's remains, and this is a big speculation, were outside. And actually, I spoke with people that are close to Stacy, and it's like odds are that this is not accurate. But some people have speculated that her body was only out there for maybe 2-ish years. You know, and it was her body wasn't found until 2004. So it's.
Oh, that it wasn't like that's not where it happened.
Yeah. But the police believe that she was killed in her apartment. So some speculated, okay, well, where was she kept? And the reason that, you know, people think this is that the area where she was found, they had had a brush clearing work done about 5 years earlier. Her remains were not found at the time, despite the fact that she had been there because she was murdered 6.5 years ago. However, a personal close friend of Stacy's weighed in on this and pointed out that her remains would have been decomposing in the elements for at least a year before this brush clearing happened. The elements, including weather, insects, animals, rising and falling riverbank tides. Under these conditions, decomposition can happen extremely quickly. So by the time this brush clearing is happening, there wouldn't be many remains left at this point. And just based on like the eyesight of how this brush clearing would be happening and waist-high grass, it is very easy that they could have missed this. The hunter is out looking for his dog. He's got his eyes trained at the ground. That's how he found Stacy's remains.
If I was doing brush clearing, I would have missed it.
Right. So
completely.
The point of this is the police are confident that Stacy's body was there the entire time. Odds are she was murdered in her apartment and brought to this location right then and there. So if you are to look into this case and read any speculation, I don't believe that to be true.
Right.
So now Stacy's family, you know, they got the horrific phone call that she's missing. They got the horrific phone call that her body was found. Now they're waiting on edge for the phone call that the killer has been caught. They realize that when this happens, old wounds will just naturally reopen.
Sure.
And Danielle, she now has a family. She actually got the phone call that Stacy's body was located on her third wedding anniversary. And now she has kids. She has teenage twins. And how will this affect them and the family? It's like you just can't fully heal until you get closure on this case. And Stacy's mom, Ronna Colbert, she prays for closure. She finds it terribly hard when somebody asks the question, the simple question, how many children do you have? And she has to respond with, I had two. And that just, as a mother myself, that just breaks my heart.
Yeah, I mean, and really the same for anybody that's lost a child at any point.
Of course.
You know? And it's life. So, you know,
lose a child at the hands of a murderer
is just beyond. Disgusting.
Stacy's family keeps her memory alive through pictures, telling stories. It's so clear that Stacy was such a great person based on the people who reached out to us to cover this case, because they loved her so much that after so many years, I mean, 26 years, they're running a Facebook page and all these pages to get justice for their friend actively.
Still actively, yeah.
Actively engaging constantly. So it's just so clear to see how much people love Stacy. So, you know, even to this day, the family keeps her memory alive, telling stories. Obviously, Danielle would want her kids to know who their aunt was. But it's never the same. At each gathering, an empty chair sits where Stacy once was. According to the Facebook page that was created by Stacy's sorority sisters, this is Finishing Stacy's Fight. It's dedicated to bringing Stacy's killer to justice. 29 days after Stacy disappeared, police were quoted in an NBC 4i news article saying that Stacy knew her attacker. Two close associates of hers quickly obtained legal counsel, refused polygraph tests, and police believe she may have let one or both of them into her apartment on the night that she disappeared.
Are you going to tell us about them?
No, we don't know anything.
Okay, I'd imagine they're males. You don't know anything about them at all?
No.
Oh, wow.
I do not. There is speculation on the Reddit page that perhaps one person came in, attacked Stacy for whatever reason, murdered her like a psychopathic, insane person, and then called in the other one to potentially help clean up the scene.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, anybody who kills somebody is out of their minds, you know, so there's no like, oh yeah, that makes sense, you wanted to kill her. Like, there's just no scenario where that's even remotely close to okay. So this person is obviously very, very, like, mentally...
In violence.
Yes, absolutely.
Very violent and prone to coming into a person's apartment in the middle of the night, the sweet, loving, caring person, and attacking them and killing them. Clearly, this person has issues. Have they done it again? Who knows?
And now, you know, it's clearly within their right to get lawyers, because that's just, you know, how it works in the United States. But at the same time, you know, the Papa John's guy didn't get a lawyer. So, you know.
The Papa John's guy just said exactly what happened.
You're right.
You know, so it's likely that she let this person in at 3:30 a.m. on Sunday, March 22nd, 1998. The person may have taken a gold necklace pendant with PI symbol on it, which was her AD Pi alumna necklace.
How do we know 3:30 a.m.?
It's just the guess. I don't know exactly why. We know we heard the sound at 4 a.m.
Why wasn't he there before that?
I don't know.
So
this is just things that I'm reading.
Okay. They say likely, though?
They said likely.
Just based on maybe something that somebody knows that they're not sure.
Perhaps.
Why.
Okay. There's a lot of things we don't know about this case.
Let's take it with a grain of salt, just in case.
It's an active ongoing investigation. So not only is she missing this gold necklace with the pi symbol on it, as well as she's also missing a diamond. Oh, I'm sorry. The necklace is in a diamond shape. She's also missing a ring with a gold band with an amethyst birthstone. So Stacy never took these pieces of jewelry off, and they were not recovered with her remains.
What color is amethyst?
That's a good question. Is it red?
I don't know.
I think it's red.
I'll look it up.
Okay, thank you. So the point is, you know, if you're a true crime person, you know that sickos take pieces from their victims as trophies. So the point is, whoever did this to Stacy could still have, it's purple, amethyst?
Yeah.
So it's a purple stone with a gold band. So the point is that this person might have these pieces as a trophy. So if you have seen either of these items in a place that seemed odd, say you're dating some guy and you see them on his bathroom counter,
and he says something from like an ex-girlfriend or whatever it might be. So we're looking, again, sorry to cut you off, but amethyst ring and a gold necklace?
Yes, it's a gold necklace in a diamond shape with a pie, P-I. Right. And if you go to Stacy's Facebook, Finishing Stacy's Fight, there's pictures of what it would look like. So if you see these items in a spot that doesn't really belong there, you know, please report this. So Detective Basinger believes that he knows who was responsible for murdering Stacy, but he doesn't yet have all the evidence that's needed to make the arrest. So the point of this is that we're hoping and praying that they're close to getting this person.
It's kind of powerful from Detective Basinger's perspective. You wonder if he really knows or if he's just saying that to make the killer, you know, worried about it. I don't know. That's interesting. This Basinger guy seems to have his stuff together. Mm-hmm. Like I really respect that he redid the entire investigation just in case. You know, not to say that the police didn't do it the right way the first time.
Right, but he wanted to do it himself.
Yeah, because he's responsible for it now too.
Just as I would.
Yeah, for sure.
I would start my whole investigation from scratch just as he did.
Yeah.
So, and he's just been very communicative with the family. And like I said, he's developed a good relationship with them based on his communications.
So it's somewhat personal.
Very much so. So he has vowed to remain diligent, and he has added, I am gonna get him. I promise you, I'm gonna get him.
That's so awesome.
He's a monster, and this isn't something you do once. And I believe that. This person, again, came into Stacy's apartment and did this to her in a fit of rage.
I wonder if that's a clue, like an additional clue being like, I know who you are, and I know you've done it before. So it's kind of like letting them know, That's what I would do personally, like the mind games to be able to screw with this guy, to be like, you know, and this person monster. He didn't do it just once. It's like, or this isn't something you would do just once.
No.
So it's like, you're kind of saying, I know you did something else. So this killer is like, oh no, he definitely knows it's me.
So I would imagine this person has got to be around the same age that Stacy was, which would put them at about 49, 50 years old at this point in time. So it's like, okay, say this person now is married and has kids. Don't tell me that he acts normally in his relationship.
Right.
If you have the ability to fly off the handle and kill an innocent victim, you are not right. And there are definitely signs that something is not right.
Unless he's on medication now or something.
Perhaps.
You know, like antipsychotics or something.
Perhaps. So the point is that Detective Basinger is onto this person, and I feel like in my soul that he knows who this person is. So Stacy's memory lives on in the community and in the hearts of family and friends and those that knew and loved her and continue to fight for justice. Typically on Stacy's birthday, again, this would have been yesterday, a memorial is held at the Fountain of Women at the OSU campus. Danielle has a cup of Highlander Grog coffee, which they often enjoy together. She raises her cup in her sister's honor.
Girls after our own hearts.
Mm-hmm. Her family and friends will never move on, and they will continue to fight until there is justice for Stacy. Anyone with any information on Stacy's murder is asked to call the Delaware County Sheriff's Office at 740-833-2892 or email Sergeant Basinger at jbasinger@co.delaware.oh.us or email finishingstacysfight@gmail.com. I was in contact with Stacy's friends, and they are lovely people, extremely responsive. If you know anything, please reach out.
And obviously, we'll put these emails and phone numbers in our show notes. So if you're looking at the podcast, just click on like additional info or whatever. It should be right there.
So we'll put all this information there. I will also put a picture of Stacy's jewelry that is missing, that she wore all the time and was never recovered. We'll put pictures of that.
Where?
On our Instagram.
Okay.
Thank you for clarifying that.
Yep.
So in order to move Stacy's case along, her family is respectfully asking for donations through GoFundMe to assist in hiring a private investigator just to get more information. We will also link this. Anything that you can contribute will help. No gift is too small. The family has thus far raised $3,360 of their $15,000 goal. And that is the sad and thus far unsolved murder of Stacy Colbert.
Mm. That's heartbreaking. I mean, frustrating is the least of the words I could probably use, and just, you know, it's a totally horrible situation. You know, a lot of these stories you hear about the person, you know, how awesome they were and stuff. It sounds like, you know, Stacy was definitely a special person.
For sure. And, you know, obviously Stacy is gone. She can't come back, but it's so important, no matter how many years pass by, that this person is held responsible for what they did.
Yeah, absolutely. And then gets beaten in prison, hopefully. All right. Well, thank you so much for listening, and hopefully, you know, somebody can reach out and help find Stacy's killer and get him behind bars. But thank you for listening. We really appreciate each and every one of you. And if you enjoyed our method of, you know, sharing these horrible stories, then, you know, there's over 40 episodes available to you via Apple subscriptions or Patreon. Just go to our show notes.
And bonus episodes. Oh,
bonus episodes.
Yeah.
Thank you. And every time that you join us, we like to shout out our patrons. So we can't shout out our Apple people, but we can shout out our patrons. Welcome to the Crime and Coffee Couple Club, to Justine, Harley, Pam, Lynette, and Sherry. Each and every one of you, absolutely lovely individuals inside and out.
Yeah, thank you guys so much. And again, if you are an Apple subscriber, please just know that you can just send us a quick message via Instagram, whatever method you want to choose.
Instagram's the best.
Yeah, Instagram is great. And let us know your name and we'll shout you out.
Yeah.
No worries. Easy peasy lemon squeezy.
Right, right. Anything else?
No, that's it. And we just appreciate the heck out of each and every one of you. And until next time, bye.